Then something he had not been expecting happened. He had stopped thrashing because it was almost too much effort, and now he was being lifted out of the red fluid, the fluid itself seeming to elevate him, while the grubs pushed him gently. Shivering with fear, he found himself on the shore. The last traces of the red fluid raced off him. For a moment, wordlessly, he stared at Travelling fearlessly, knowing that the grub sensed his attention. "You believe me, don't you? You won't kill me. You know what it would mean."
"I don't want to kill you," Travelling fearlessly said, "because then I'd be lonely again, like I was before you came."
He understood, and the understanding itself was vile. It still cherished his company even after he had inflicted pain on it, even after he had murdered part of it. The thing was so desperately lonely that it even desired the presence of its torturer. He thought of a small child screaming in absolute darkness, betrayed by a friend that had never properly existed, and, while at the same time hating it absolutely for its weakness, did at least understand. And that made his hatred all the more intense. He had to kill another grub before he persuaded Travelling fearlessly to destroy the two approaching shuttles, and this time it was not just the murder of the grub that agonized the creature. Generating the skein seemed to pain it as well, as if the grub could sense the ship's damage. But by then it was over. He could have stayed, could have kept torturing the grub until it told him all it knew. He could have forced the grub to show him how the ship moved, and found out whether it was capable of taking them to Journey's End quicker than the Santiago. He could even have considered bringing some of the Santiago's crew here, aboard the Void Warren, living in its endless tunnels, forcing the grubs to adjust the air mix and temperature until it suited human tastes. How many could the alien ship have supported? Dozens or hundreds? Perhaps even the Momios, if they were woken. Maybe some of them would have had to be fed to the helper grubs to keep them happy, but he could have lived with that. But he decided instead to destroy the ship. It was simpler by far. It freed him from negotiating with the grub, freed him from the sense of revulsion he felt when he recognized its loneliness. It also freed him from running the risk of the Void Warren ever falling into the hands of the other flotilla vessels. "Let us leave," he told Travelling fearlessly, "clear a route right to the surface, near where we came in." He heard sonorous clangs as passageways were rerouted, airlocks opening and shutting. A breeze caressed the red water.
"You can leave now," the grub told him. "I'm sorry that we had a disagreement. Will you come back soon?"
"Count on it," Sky said. Later, they pulled away in the shuttle. Gomez still had no idea what had happened. No idea why the approaching forces had simply blown up.
"What did you find in there?" he asked. "Did anything that Oliveira said make sense, or was he just insane?"
"I think he was insane," Sky said. Norquinco made no comment. They had barely spoken at all since the incident by the lake. Perhaps Norquinco thought it would slip from his memory if it was not remarked upon. An understandable lapse of nerve in a tense situation. But Sky kept replaying the fall in his mind, remembering the red tide fingering his faceplate, wondering how many molecules of it had actually slipped through.
"What about the medical supplies? Did you find anything? And did you get any idea what happened to her hull?"
"We found out a few things," Sky said. "Just get us away from here, will you? Max thrust."
"But what about the propulsion section? I need to look at the containment, need to see if we can get that antimatter."
"Just do it, Gomez," he offered a comforting lie. "We'll come back for